updates to share with you. A lot of people standing in the need of prayer, and I'm glad that you take the ministry of prayer serious and you joined us for that. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and we'll launch into our study on Enoch. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that we come to you with sometimes heavy hearts. We can be weighed down by the cares of this world or by prayer requests, things that we have heard, things that seem out of our control. Lord, it's all out of our control. None of it is out of your control. We thank you that you know our down-sitting, our uprising, and are acquainted with all our ways. There's nothing that escapes your almighty gaze that comforts us. We gather to hold up the needs of others in prayer and to be able to take our burdens to the Lord and as the body of Christ to bear one another's burdens. We ask that you would bless our study and then hear us in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've looked for a couple weeks at the person of Enoch. Genesis 5 is not all about Enoch, but that's that obituary chapter, okay, where we read of Adam lived this many years, had a son, then he lived this many more years, and he died. And then you get this real familiar pattern. And until you get to Genesis chapter 5, the verse talking about Enoch, and it says Enoch was 65 years when he had a son. Anybody remember his son? Methuselah. Anybody remember how many years Methuselah lives? 969. All right, right. And then it says after he had that son, then he walked with God 300 years, and he was not, for God took him. Twice it says actually that he walked with God. That's the primary thing. We use terms pretty freely sometimes, and when we stop and say, what does that mean? How is that done? That's where it gets really sticky. So we're going to be talking about Enoch walking with God. But turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. We made it to the New Testament last week. One of the things that I left you with was, don't just live out your years on this earth. That's setting the bar too low, but make sure that you walk with God. That'd be a nice thing on the tombstone. Loida walked with God. If that would pretty well say everything that people needed to know. Walking with God, we said, does not just suggest a journey of life, but there's something very purposeful or deliberate. And something about the birth of Methuselah, or about that time, triggered in him to walk with God. We said, and we'll get to this a little bit more later, but it was not an easy time. Genesis 6:5 says that God saw the wickedness on earth, and that every imagination, every thought that came out of man's head was, everything that came up before God was evil, what? Continually. Yeah, it was a nonstop problem. So we talked about maybe three components or three ways of looking at what it means to walk with God. And it starts with putting one's trust in God. Enoch was a sinner. Enoch, according to Hebrews chapter 11 here, verses 5 and 6, he pleased God. And it says, we'll start in verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, that he rewards those who seek him. I know that Enoch pleased God. I had his faith in God, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So whichever way you want to work from that equation. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So we said that faith is there's a confidence that the promises of God will be fulfilled by God. So what are some things that Enoch did not know? Well, he didn't know how this promise was going to be that was made to Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that through her seed one would come that would crush Satan's head. And yet he believed that God was going to make this work. He heard and believed. He knew that everything around here had been made by creation. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of things that are visible. So what I'm trying to say is Enoch didn't have it all figured out. He didn't know how God was going to develop all this. There was some history, but not a whole lot. It was oral history. This was not written down yet. There were lessons to be learned. There were lessons to be passed down about God. He didn't have it all figured out, but he put his faith in God. However short those 300 years seemed to him, however sweet they were, I'm guessing he wishes he had those 65 years that he'd also walked with God. It's never too early to start. Walking with God starts with believing God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, by faith and not by sight. That's how we walk. He didn't have it all figured out. But he also believed that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. A rewarder. What's the reward? The reward, one man says, the reward of righteousness and forgiveness and holiness that God gives. He ended up walking with God, walking by faith. So that's the first thing, is that to walk with God, and we're not just being academic here. I would ask you, is this true of your life, that there's a time where you put your trust in God and you would say, I continue to trust God. The other dimension, the second one, was having communion with God. And walking with God, we said, doesn't mean taking strides with God in the garden. In some way, God walked with Adam. And you know, you think about it, what Adam lost in the fall, to some degree, Enoch found. Adam made a bad trade. Adam put the word of the serpent over the word of the Lord. The Lord had put him in the garden, and I cannot imagine the blessing. This is all mine. I get to discover this. I get to see delight in God through this creation every day. This is amazing. And then to be able to do that with Eve and discover things every day and just delight in the Creator. And then Eve stumbles across the serpent who says, you will not surely die. Adam didn't know what death was. How much death was there before the fall? If you believe in evolution, things were living and dying for billions of years before man ever showed up. And that cannot be reconciled with the Word of God. Death by sin. Death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So he doesn't know all that that means about, for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. But it's the promise of God. And he takes the doubt of the serpent. It's a denial of the serpent. You will not. Which is, put it in the vernacular, what is Satan saying about God? God is a liar. And Adam and Eve chose to believe that version over what God had said. And Enoch comes along and in his 65th year says, you know what? It seems like everybody around me is hedonistic, living for the moment, living for pleasure. I choose to live for God. Lincoln, does it ever feel like you're the only believer who believes like you do walking on the campus of Ohio State? Yeah, I'm sure there, and it's nice when you do meet a genuine believer who loves and wants to walk with God. But in place of the fellowship, the unbroken fellowship that he enjoyed with God, now he had this rebellion against God and the judgment of God and is kicked out of the garden. Enoch, going back to Enoch, God gave the gift of faith and then imputed righteousness. And by that, he was saved. 300 years of fellowship after that. What would you do with 300 years? I think I may have mentioned the first week that, you know, you spend your first few years trying to figure it out and get some work experience, and you're not always receptive to counsel. And then you get to a certain point where you start getting some experience, and then your last years, you're passing along what you've learned. And some of these guys that we read of in Genesis chapter 5 had four or five generations alive when they were. Can you imagine that? You think you're tired now watching your grandkids. Can you imagine watching your great-great-great-great-great-grandkids for the day? That'd wear you out. Here's the third thing about walking with God. It's clearly obedient living before God. Obedient living before God. Speaking of somebody like Cain, who's mentioned shortly before Enoch in Genesis, Cain didn't sin or fail because of a lack of information. Cain rebelled because he chose to come to God in another way. God wanted sacrifice. Cain said, I'll impress you with my offering of good works. You know, that's coming to God expecting to worship God on our terms. And that still goes on today. A lot of people, well, I'll worship God, but the God that I serve, I'll pick and choose what he's like. I'll have a composite Jesus. And he certainly doesn't judge people. We read from Hebrews 11:4 where it said, Abel's offering was more acceptable, given through faith. What kind of faith? The faith that obeyed, right? And because of that, it was commended as righteous. In Hebrews, we're given this term back in Genesis. It was he walked with God. How is it put in Hebrews 11? He pleased God. A little bit more of a commentary on that. And he walked with God by a faith that pleased God. And God includes him in that heroes of the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. Well, one other thing I want us to talk about, that walking with God for 300 years when the majority of people around you aren't is never easy. Anti-God living in an antediluvian world was easy. That was just going with the flow. When he decided at 65 years of age, I'm going to bring a sacrifice to God, I'm going to give my life to God, I'm going to obey God, I'm going to delight in God, the lessons that I've heard from my forefathers about God, I put my faith in that, and I choose to live in a way that delights God. So it wasn't an easy time. What were some of the things in Enoch's lifetime, or between, we could say, from Adam to Noah, what are some of the sins that began? Yes.
Lamech liked this plan too. He killed and he was
blameless. He went for double jeopardy, yeah. He both brought polygamy and boasted, I have killed a man. Very good. What else? between Adam and Noah. Murder, polygamy. Genesis chapter 6, you look there and it talks about, how's it described that chapter, the conduct of man? Just generally corruption. And there was false worship that goes on as well. And so, as I said, one of the ways that he believed God was to believe that the promise to Eve would remain intact. And he saw, he attended a few funerals in his day. He had to believe that the seed of the woman would continue, and it continues from Abel to Seth, Genesis 4, 25 through 26, from Seth to Shem, that's Genesis 5, from Shem to Abram, that's Genesis chapters 10 through 11. But there's another way that he walks with God. Turn with me to the book of Jude. We'll just start this. And maybe you know this passage. Enoch the preacher. Verse 14. It was about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam. So now we know that it's not the Enoch of chapter 4, but of chapter or Genesis chapter 5 that we studied, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all, to convict all the ungodly of their deeds of," there it is again, "ungodliness that they have committed in such," and there it is, "an ungodly way," three times, "and of all the harsh things that the," well, let's make it four, "ungodly sinners have spoken against him." We'll look at this in more depth next week, but he preaches, he prophesies, he's living in a time where sin seems to rule the day, where everybody else is bought into the same lie that Adam had. You know, we will not surely die. It can't be that bad. Everybody else is doing that. And certainly it must have seemed like everybody was sinning. And in the face of that, Enoch decided, I'm gonna walk with God. And then in addition, we find out in almost the end of the Bible now that he preached against those who were sinning. He preached to the ungodly. That really sets you up for a popularity contest. Ungodly points to the disregard for the law of God. And he could say, you know what, that's how I was too. I didn't feel like I was against God, but I wasn't for God. But last year, there was a turning point. I now am walking with God. My highest delight is to please God. God wants us to live holy when everybody around us seems to want to live for themselves and live in sin. It marks us, it sets us up for opposition. You see, so when you say, you know, Pastor, I'm exhausted. I'm spiritually exhausted. I'm the only one in my office. I'm the only one on the block. I'm the only one in my family that really wants to walk with God and seriously be a disciple for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so much opposition. We are not the first. And Enoch, you know, I was thinking today, I don't know that this is how the conversation went, but it might have been. Enoch was fellowshipping with God, was meditating on some things that he had heard about God, was delighting in God, and maybe also lamenting. Remember that series on lament? Maybe he was lamenting to God the condition of things. And as we'll see next week, he wasn't fruitful in his ministry, but he was faithful. I don't know of anybody that repented, maybe even in his own family, but he was faithful in that he preached Genesis or Jude 14 and 15, in a very unpopular day. And he's talking with God, and he says, God, I'm so tired. And God is encouraging him in prayer. And God says, you know what? Maybe Enoch says, I trust you, I believe you, but boy, I would like to know what this Redeemer, this Conqueror, how this is all going to work out. God says, well, you know, why don't you just come with me, come to heaven right now, and I'll. Well, I've been to a few funerals. I've seen a few people. I've been there when they've died. And Lord, I'm a little afraid. I believe you, but I'm a little afraid. Oh, you know what? We're just going to bypass that. What do you mean? Well, heaven is like, and before he got finished with that sentence, he was translated from this world and found himself walking into heaven. You say, that's not the way it happened. Then you tell me how it happened. That's my version. With Elijah, we know that this fiery chariot, and Elisha sees it, and I don't get any impression from Hebrews 11 or Genesis 5 that anybody was around to witness it. He was not, for God took him. Maybe the rapture comes tomorrow, and somebody will say, Megan was here, and she's not, because God took her. That would be a wonderful thing. To be in this existence, and some of it's blessed, and some of it's heartbreaking, and then in the next moment, be in the presence of the Lord. Well, we'll come back to that, but we've got other things that are very important tonight to look at and discuss. And let's pray as we finish this study, and then I'm going to ask a particular person to come give a testimony. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that every word of your word is true. It convicts us, it instructs us, it encourages us, and Lord, we need that tonight. And help us to come before you in prayer, standing on the authority of this word. Help us, like Enoch, to desire to walk with God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John, would you come?
Good evening. My name is John. I've had the pleasure of meeting most of you so far, but Pastor asked us to come up, give a short little testimony of some basic information. Most of you probably have known my wife for a long time. Most of you probably have known my wife's sister and brother-in-law, Ann and Wes Hill, for even longer. We are family with them. Joan isn't here tonight, but we consider her family as well. So he asks three questions: who we are, why we're here, and what is the Lord teaching us? Well, who we are, my name is John. Amy is my wife. You've probably seen our two kids running around. The smallest of the two is Josephine. The older one, her name is Lillian. Three of four of us, we're all saved. Lillian has probably the most exciting salvation. She was on a bus by herself and feels that the Lord was speaking to her and asked the Lord into her heart one day coming home. She was excited to come home and tell us that. So hers was a little bit more exciting, but she did that last year, and we're very excited about that. 2015, Amy and I got married. If you could do math right, 10 years for us. Our anniversary is on a pretty good day. If Pastor Hamilton ever forgets it, he's probably in trouble too, because it's August 1st, the same as his. We lived in Pennsylvania for a number of years before we moved to Ohio. We've been here since 2019. At the time, I was working, and some of the jobs started to go away, so we talked and decided that we're going to move, and that's when Ann and Wes said, why don't you move out here? We lived with them for about a year, so we were pretty close with them. So why we're here now might be confusing to some of you. We've been in a church for a couple of years. We served faithfully. We thought at the time that's where the Lord would have us serve. I did many ministries there. I was in charge of the kids' ministry, the song leading. Amy did a lot of work with music and nursery, so we served diligently. About a year and a half ago or so, I started to wonder and ask, why do I have the beliefs that I have? And so that started leading us to questioning where we should be serving, and we felt that the Lord was moving us on from that church. We left, I believe, in good faithful. We left amicably. We had a nice transition. We're still friends with everybody there, so nothing wrong. We just felt the Lord was moving us on. And that's when we came here. We also visited a few other churches. What the Lord is teaching us, for us, I think that everything is in God's timeline. And I'll say something more on that a little bit later. But a verse that came to mind for me, and I read from Hebrews, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but are all naked and exposed to the eyes of him who he must give account." We need to remain faithful to God and trust in him. And I say that because over the past several years, there has been a lot of growth in me, a lot of growth in our family. Over the past several weeks of being here, we've seen exponential growth in our family. We came here because we have respect for people, obviously you, but two people in the church specifically, Pastor Hamilton and Isaac, whom we have much respect for. In the age of Facebook and YouTube, I was able to listen to many of his messages before we even came. So I actually did a couple hours of just listening to make sure, okay, he's okay. And I did appreciate his messages that I heard. We came here because, like I said, we have respect for those. But 5 years ago, well, 6 years now, in my immaturity, we came in 2019, and we came from King James only. So right off the bat, coming here, you guys weren't King James, I immediately said no. Pastor Hamilton, in my immaturity, introduced himself as Paul, and Amy will attest to this. It was immature of me to say, no, I'm not going to go to the church because a pastor introduced himself as Paul. I think maybe it was the Lord playing some little jokes to actually bring us back here several years later. But we are thankful that we have come back. Everybody here has been so nice to us. We have appreciated the kindness, the generosity, the sincerity. You know, what we're looking for in the church, you guys have a model, growing together in Christ's likeness. You know, we can preach the word, but we also need to be able to live the word in our day-to-day lives. And it's important that when we're here, we're also living and growing together. My daughters are young. I need older people who can guide me so I can guide them. I would like them to have friends in Christian friendship, and we would like to have people that are our age. I mean, we're all in this. We're still living, and so we want to make sure we're doing our diligence here, serving God. And I've been so thankful that we've been here. I've been so thankful for the pastor and all of your kindness. We truly, truly love being here so far. Thank you.
And the nice things about